So we start today with verses 11 and 12. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So, do we know our gospel? What do we mean by the word gospel? It's one of those Christianese words. Does anyone know the language instead of gospel, which we commonly use? Does anyone know what gospel? The good news. Cracking. So I want to spend a little time this morning just covering the basics of the good news. Do we fully understand what the good news is? Okay, so I've found a description of in a couple of lines of what the gospel is. So the precious good news of justification by grace alone, by faith alone, on the basis of Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. So there's some quite long words in there, and I don't know about you, I very often get confused by these long words and need reminding of what they actually mean. So the precious good news of justification. So what's that word justification mean? So justification is God's act of removing guilt and penalty of sin while at the same time making a sinner righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. Wow, there's some long words there as well. So the wages of sin is death. Christ died on a cross to pay for all the bad bits we've ever done, known and unknown. The word righteous is where we have been made right with God. Or a little bit more colloquially, to be put in a place where we are good to go with our relationship with Jesus, because having a relationship with the living God is what this is all about. So going back over that again, the precious good news of justification by grace alone, what is this grace? So grace is the favor, the free and undeserved help that God gives us to respond to his call, to become children of God, adoptive sons and daughters, partakers in the divine nature of eternal life. It's understood by Christians to be a spontaneous gift from God to his people, generous, free, totally unexpected and undeserved, that takes the form of divine favor, love, clemency, and a share in the divine life of God. Grace is the unmerited favor of God towards us. So sticking with that description of the gospel, the precious good news of justification by grace alone, by faith alone, on the basis of Christ alone, for the glory of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, from Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the basic ingredient to begin that relationship with God. The promise is clear from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. On the basis of Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, that Christ died on the cross to pay that great debt of sin, so that we may go on from that point living in the fullness and abundance of life, in the complete relationship with God Almighty, creator and maker of the universe, which was his intention for you from the very start of time, that we may have a relationship so close with him that his spirit dwells in us. That is the good news. So moving on, verses 11 and 12. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. God is the source of our good news. It was God's plan to redeem mankind from the very beginning. Salvation is by God's grace through faith in Jesus. Paul, in these verses Rachel read today, starts to tell his story. So Paul's background, what was his backstory? He's an interesting chap. He certainly was determined and had gained quite a reputation for persecuting Christians. It's really interesting that we prayed today for the persecuted church. That's where Paul started from. He was quite good at it as well. And then one day, he was planning his next road trip to persecute the next part of the church and had determined upon a place called Damascus. Okay, this is from the story from Acts 9. I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit. And the road to Damascus experience. So Paul was going about his daily business of persecuting Christians, and the next place on the list was Damascus. Paul, being a guy that likes to be prepared, had written ahead of time to the church, to the synagogues in Damascus, to say, I need some helping hand with this. The plan was to bring any men and women back in chains, back from Damascus to Jerusalem. But on his way to Damascus, he got blinded by a great light that came from heaven. He then heard Jesus' voice, who asked him, why are you persecuting me? He was blinded for 3 days and went without food and water, and Paul received a revelation from Jesus. Paul had a reputation that was deserved, okay, and known by the followers of, at that time, the way. There was a bloke called Ananias. And Ananias had a vision and was told to go and find Paul and lay his hands on him. And he will see again, he was told. Now, if you were Ananias, let's think about that. You get given a vision as well, and you're told to go and find the person that is persecuting the church, that is very well known, and to be fair and frank, quite good at it as well, because Paul was a determined and well-read and well-prepared chap. But Ananias had to step out and be brave and go and deliver that message. And, oh yes, don't forget Paul in all of this. Ananias was told that Paul is now Jesus' chosen instrument to take the message of the good news to the Gentiles. Wow. That's a bit brave. I'm not sure I would choose that route. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and something like scales fell off his eyes after 3 days. He regained his sight, he got baptized, ate some food, and was strengthened. That was the Damascus Road experience. So moving on. Galatians 1, 13 and 14. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, among my own people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Paul was good at living a good traditional Jewish life. He excelled in every way. He was very religious and really understood the law. He was incredibly well known for persecuting Christians. He was so well known, he had almost like a celebrity status for doing it. He planned persecutions and prepared for it well. And yet, Paul received a direct revelation of Christ on the road to Damascus. It was an experience of meeting Jesus for himself that changed him, changed Paul's beliefs, and Paul's direction. He was given his life mission to preach to the Gentiles to change humanity. Verses 15. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human beings. Paul's mission was given to go and preach the good news to the Gentiles. The Gentiles means anyone that's not Jewish. So most of us here are not from that Jewish background. And we have received that mission from Paul here today. We are given the same mission in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So let's think about what we've just read. Paul, who God had a plan for before he was born, the plan being to spread the good news to the Gentiles, to you and to me. Yet that same man who spent his life before the Damascus Road experience was especially good at persecuting Christians. And that was God's plan from the start. It's quite a thing to say. That was God's plan from the start, that he actually intended to use Paul with that background. I often put myself in the shoes and go, well, I don't understand that. But if God can use Paul with that background, with that history, can he not use us? So just like Paul, our past does not preclude God from using us, communicating through us. I wonder how many people here today feel that God can't use me because of my past. Have we not received the good news? Our past does not preclude us from God using us today. Everyone has their own story of coming to faith and their own encounter with Jesus, if you've come to know Jesus. The introduction of Galatians is Paul setting out his story for the rest of the book of the church of Galatia to start to fulfill his God-given mission of spreading the good news to us. We may not all have a Damascus Road experience. I gave my life to the Lord when I was 9 years old at a CSSM summer mission camp back in 9 years old. There was a youth camp taking place over the week where my nanny still lives. She's now 98, which is amazing lady. But at her church, they had a summer camp. And I was given the option. I was someone, Mark, the leader there, said, who wants to follow Jesus? And there was something in that moment that just made my heart flicker, where I felt his presence, where I had to accept or not accept him. And so when Mark, that leader, just said, who wants to give their life to the Lord? I went, as a 8-9-year-old, Yep, I think that's me. I want to follow him. And I saw that revelation, and it was a very quiet thing for me. And the quiet stories are just as relevant as we don't all have a beam of light coming down from heaven. But for me, it was that reality of seeing Jesus in that that moment where I recognize who you are and I know who you are and I have to take that decision. That's my story, but all our stories are valid. And yours may well be different. I hope it is, because for me, it was very quiet and yet it changed everything. So, just like Paul in this first part of first chapter of Galatians, let us share our stories so that God can get the glory, because I think that's what it's about as well. So we're coming into land now. 3 points from today. Do we know our gospel? Do we know the good news? Have we accepted the good news, the precious gospel of justification by grace alone, by faith alone, on the basis of Christ alone? Do we know the good news? Do we know the good news? Does it penetrate to the marrow the good news of what Christ has done for us? Second point. By telling our story, we can bring Jesus into the lives of those around us. We've had testimony this morning, and it's been an amazing morning of testimony. Actually, by sharing that news of what Jesus is doing in our lives, it's transformative. And people can't say, well, that's not true, because it's your story. It's your truth of Jesus working through you, in you. And the final point. Our past does not stop us living out God's plan for our life. Now, I know quite a number of you. I don't know everyone here. But I don't think there's anyone who's been running around persecuting the church quite as much as Paul. It's not a grading thing. There may be all sorts of things that have gone on that you go, God can't use me now. And today may be one of those days where you have to go, I'm going to park that, because God does have good news for me. And part of that good news is the fact that I can park it and go, God has fundamentally dealt with that. And I can now move on, because God does have a plan for me to really move his kingdom forward. A plan for your life to be lived to the full, where we can see God's glory revealed in each other as we go on this journey as a corporate church. So I'm going to finish, and I'd like to just finish with praying. And I'm going to start by giving people 20 seconds to just mull over some of those things, because there may be things in there that you want to deal with. And so I'm just going to give you 20 seconds, and then I will lead in a prayer and finish and hand over to Paul. Lord, I ask that you want us to know your good news. You want it inside of us, coming out of us and through us. Lord, if we haven't heard the good news today before, and we take this chance, and that heart moment where your heart leaps and you go, I recognize Jesus. Lord, I want to say yes to you, whatever that heart jump may be for each one of us here. Whether there's things that we just know we haven't moved on from. Whether there's purpose that we know you have for us, that you want to move us forward in. Lord, we say your kingdom come here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to close our service in a minute, but I just want to pick up on a few things. We have people that would love to pray with you for anything and everything, but there's a couple of points that Stephen made. And the first was the simple question that he raised as he was sharing part of his story. It was a simple one: is who wants to follow Jesus? That was the question the camp leader raised, and Jesus and Stephen responded to. And actually, it's a question that's a valid one even for today. Do you know that I think there may be people here that have yet to ever make a decision, who come along to church and find it interesting, and there's something about church that's interesting, but they've never actually dealt with that question. Do you want to follow Jesus? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the Bible says there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. You know, I mean, I can't pull punches. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says. I can't make it soft and cuddly. It says there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. And actually, we're reminded that it's a relationship amongst friends, and it was only ever supposed to be a relationship amongst friends, not a bunch of rules. And so the question is, do you want to follow Jesus? Have you made that decision? Have you ever actually made that decision? If the answer is no, and you want to follow Jesus, you've come to the reality that actually he is real. He died on the cross for you. He rose again so that you could have life. And his Spirit lives in you, and he reigns with the Father now. Then he's calling you home this morning. He's calling you to come and be part of his family. And we want to pray with you. So, you know, we're just going to go for it. If you want to follow Jesus for the first time, I'm just going to invite you to stand now. Don't wait. If nobody stands, that's fine. If you want to stand, if you want to follow Jesus for the first time, stand. We're going to pray with you. And I got this word also. Joe, I think the church is full of a spirit of Saul as well. And I think we need to overcome that. You know, because I say I think the church is full of it because I think God was convicting me of it. And I think I'm not the only one here. There's this spirit of Saul that exists in the church. As we go around, we look at people and think, God will not, cannot, or won't do anything with that person. Has nothing, and therefore you don't actually engage with them. You don't talk to them about your faith. You don't offer to pray with them because you think God won't do anything. And that's the spirit of Saul. That's exactly what Saul was doing. God has nothing to do with those Gentiles or those followers of the way, because that is not my God. That is not what I know about my God. And God had to deal with that. God had to deal with the spirit of Saul and radically transform him and say, no, exact opposite, in fact, Saul. I have got something to say to them, and I'm going to use you to do it now. That serves you right. And so, do you know, if you find yourselves at that point, you walk through, I don't know, with your neighbours, or you walk through town and go, I'm not going to speak to that person because I don't think, you know, I just don't think God's going to do anything, then we want to pray with you as well. And if you find you are one of those people who lets your past preclude you from all that God has to do for you, we want to pray for you. The prayer team is going to be over there. As we sang about earlier, we believe God is a God who heals as well, not just who heals our spiritual lives as he restores us back into relationship, but he also is a God who heals us physically. So if you've got any sickness, any illness, or anything you'd like prayer for, then there's people who are going to stand over on that side. At the end of the service, we would love to pray with you. Other than that, there's tea and coffee at the back. Kids, it's great to see you back in. Hope you had a great time this morning with the kids team and kids and youth team down there this morning. I'll be hanging around the bookshop, just so you know, the bookshop. I'm going to take away all the books today, and I'm going to take them back to St. Olav's and get some new ones. So if there's anything there that you been looking at that you really want, now is your last opportunity, because they're going to be returned to St. Olav's this week. So grab them if you want to buy any of the books over there. If you want to give us any money for the church weekend, come and see me afterwards. Other than that, let's stand. Paul said, I am an apostle. apostle for Christ. And as we reflected earlier, and the message that the Bible portrays is that we are, in some extent, all apostles for Christ. Apostolos, people who are sent out to bear witness, to influence for a kingdom and a cause and a purpose. That is all of our destiny. We are called to go out and influence for God's kingdom. And so I pray God's blessing upon you as you do that. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that the power of the Spirit would fall upon you now to go and live out that destiny, that calling as apostolos, people called and sent out to bear witness, to influence, and to bring influence into your community, your life this week. Because as we gather, we are sent out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tea and coffee, prayer ministry. Have a great week. See you next week.